everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's December 2019, and you're listening to episode 152, which is a discussion about the TV series Doctor Who. On this episode, I'm joined by Caleb Woodbridge, who is Publishing Director for InterVarsity Press UK and lives in Bletchley, England. Caleb has written an online exclusive television series review article for the Christian Research Journal, and you can read it for free online at our website, equip.org. And his article is called The Romantic Rationalism of BBC's Doctor Who. Caleb, it's good to have you on.
Thank you for having me back.
Well, I don't know if everyone is familiar with Doctor Who, but it's one of those very beloved sci-fi television series. It's a British one, and it is on the BBC, as is noted in his article title. And it's been around for a long time. It's been around since 1963. And I think if any non-Doctor Who fan knows anything about it, they might recognize the time-traveling spaceship, which is called the TARDIS. It's like this blue British police box. And, you know, you might have seen it in like any kind of fantasy, you know, shops that have different, you know, fan paraphernalia and that kind of stuff. I will have to admit that I am a major sci-fi fan, and I have tried Doctor Who on a number of occasions, and maybe I watched some older ones because I just could not get into it. So I am very excited to talk to Caleb because I know there are a lot of really devoted Doctor Who fans, including many in the United States and around the world. And so he's kind of a expert. I believe he's seen most all of them, if not all of the episodes. So that's a lot of Doctor Who content. And so he's going to kind of walk us through Doctor Who. So how long have you been a Doctor Who fan?
Well, I mean, with the original series of Doctor Who, there's almost, it's funny because I think there's 153 stories in the original run. So the podcast is coming up to almost as many episodes, but then that's not counting all of the ones since it came back in 2005. So there's an awful lot of Doctor Who. And in fact, some of the 60s episodes were wiped because no one had thought of videos or DVDs or streaming. So they didn't think there was any value in keeping hold of some of the episodes. So I haven't seen all of them. I haven't even quite seen all of the ones that are available, but I've seen an awful lot of them. I think there's a new BritBox streaming service launching. I think it's actually been in the US a bit longer, but come Boxing Day, it's going to have all of the available episodes of Doctor Who. So I might be filling in a few of the gaps once that launches and there's easy access to them all. But I've been into it since I was when I was growing up. It wasn't on the TV because of that gap between 1989 and 2005 when it was off the telly. But I got into it through the books, the novelizations, then the videos and the DVDs and the spin-off novels and audio dramas. So there's always been this very rich, expanded world of Doctor Who that I've been into. And then delving back into the archives of its rich 50-year history. So yeah, it's something that's just grabbed my imagination when I was young and has kept going ever since then. Is probably the biggest thing I'm a fan of. There's other things I like Star Wars and other science fiction, but this is my main fandom, the thing that if you really want to get me geeking out about something, Doctor Who's the thing.
Well, it looks like, according to Wikipedia, that there's 851 episodes, and of that, it says 97 are missing, the ones that they didn't save. So it seems like there's about 750 or so episodes that someone can watch, which sounds like a lot, but I know there are people who are anime fans, and I know there's some anime series that are like over 1,000 episodes. So if you wanted to get into Doctor Who, I think you could start watching it bit by bit and probably catch up.
Yeah.
So specifically for this podcast, what appeals to you about Doctor Who, particularly as a Christian?
Yeah, so I think one of the things I like about Doctor Who is that the character of the Doctor, he is very, in some ways, he's a very atypical hero. He doesn't use weapons for the most part. He always treats violence as a matter of last resort. He's an explorer, a scientist. He's there to be friends with everyone, and he kind of stumbles into saving planets and saving the galaxy. But in that sort of quick-wittedness and that reliance on his wits, I think there's something that's quite appealing and quite both family friendly, and also I think chimes with some of the perhaps more non-violent aspects in Christian thought and so on that I find really interesting and intriguing.
So you talked about you've gotten into a lot of other parts of Doctor Who fandom, and that includes fan fiction. And you noted that you have written a couple of Doctor Who short stories. So how did you get into some fan fiction that you were an author of, and what were those particular stories about?
Well, these were officially published. There was a short story competition run by Big Finish Productions, who also do the audio dramas, to have short stories that would be judged and the best ones picked to be in this collection. And so my story, The Shopping Trolleys of Doom, about shopping trolleys with AI rising up and throwing off their human masters type thing, was one of those picked to be published. And then off the back of that, I then did another one in another collection called Blessed of the Peacemakers, which had Tom Baker's Doctor, the Fourth Doctor, meeting Francis of Assisi in the Fifth Crusade in Egypt, because a little known fact about St. Francis is that he went to try and convert the Muslims peacefully by preaching to them to try and end all the fighting that way. And I thought that that was a really fascinating thing and would be an interesting way of raising some questions about faith and belief within the context of a Doctor Who story. But of course, there were giant alien scarab beetles who were trying to use mind control to convert everyone to their religion because it's Doctor Who, and so you need that sci-fi twist on it as well.
Well, just in case our American listeners don't know, shopping trolleys are your shopping carts. That's what we call them here.
Right.
Now, there have been quite a few Doctor Who's. The actual Doctor has changed from various different actors. They're up to, I think, the 13th Doctor now. So which Doctor was your favorite one so far?
It's really hard picking favourites because I think they all bring something to the role. But I think for me, when I was getting into Doctor Who, particularly in the early noughties, Paul McGann was doing the audio dramas, and it was the only new Doctor Who available at the time that was being acted out. So I was really into those and really into his portrayal. So that's quite special. And similarly, Christopher Eccleston, because he was my first TV Doctor when it came back in 2005. I think whatever first grabs you and makes you a fan, that often has a lasting impact. But yeah, I think you can't really beat Tom Baker, though, just in terms of the, I think in many ways he remains the sort of definitive portrayal of Doctor Who.
Well, some of our listeners might have recalled, even if they're not Doctor Who fans, because it was kind of a trending topic on social media, that 2 years ago they announced that the 13th Doctor would be an actress named Jodie Whittaker and the Doctor would be a woman. And so it caused some consternation among fans. Some of them felt, I'm sure, that it just was too radical a change to their beloved Doctor. And some people accused the producers and so forth of being politically correct, and they just didn't feel like that a woman should be the doctor. And so it was a very polarizing, I think, among the hardcore fans. Although I would note a lot of hardcore fans are always polarized about something. There's Marvel fans out there who have outcries, or Star Wars fans that don't like some of the new recent films in the 9-film series of the Skywalker family. So there's always somebody that's, dismayed by it. But it did, create some stir, the fact that it was a woman. So what do you make of the Doctor being a woman? How do you think that she fit into the whole Doctor Who universe?
Well, I think Jodie Whittaker's a good actress, and from that point of view, I don't have any objection. I do think there is some validity to the criticism. I think the most recent series, and with the writing as well, it did feel quite self-consciously trying to be sort of addressing issues like racism and sort of generally, some people have nicknamed it Dr. Woke type thing, and just being leaning into those things in a perhaps a rather heavy-handed way. And certainly I don't think it's a bad thing for Doctor Who to be addressing contemporary issues and stuff, but I think perhaps the way they've handled some of these things, the writing hasn't been as elegant as it could be, and it then kind of shows up the casting of the Doctor in that context. It just seems like they're perhaps trying a bit too hard to prove their kind of progressive credentials or something like that. So I'd say it's more an issue with the quality of the writing that's accompanied Jodie Whittaker, where I'd perhaps raise a few questions rather than with her as an actress or having a female doctor in principle. So we'll see if they can smooth out some of the rough edges with the new series coming in the new year. I hope they can, but I felt it was a bit rough around the edges.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Caleb Woodbridge, and he has written an online feature television series review of the TV program Doctor Who, and it's called The Romantic Rationalism of BBC's Doctor Who. I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. A subscription is $33.50, and you can subscribe online at our website, equip.org. If a subscription is not in your budget at this time, we'd like to invite you to help keep our resources free, including this Postmodern Realities podcast, by giving us a tip, which you can do on our website, equip.org. Simply go to our website, go to magazine, at the drop-down menu, select Postmodern Realities podcast, and find the landing page for this episode about our discussion of the television series Doctor Who. And if you open up that landing page, you will see that there's a link there to provide us a tip. A tip would be a small amount, like $3 or $5 or $10, which might be the cost of a movie or a lunch out, or for some, a coffee drink at their favorite coffee place. And maybe you would skip one of those and give us a tip to thank us and partner with us for these resources that you receive completely free, including this online exclusive television review article. However, if a monetary tip is not in your budget at all, we would like to ask you for a big favor that is a gift of your time by going to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and please rate and review this podcast. When you rate and review our podcast, it helps other people find us, and the easiest and simplest way that you can be an evangelist for this podcast is to share an episode on your social media accounts to help other people find this content. So thank you for your partnership. Well, now I want to turn more to the content of the series. And so I guess a big question for this podcast, and especially our focus in this episode on cultural apologetics, is what is Doctor Who's outlook on religion and faith? You just mentioned a few moments ago some stories that you won a prize for that you published that kind of ask some of those questions. But in general, what are kind of issues that they address related to religion and faith?
Yeah. So with Doctor Who, I mean, over 50 plus years, I think it was the 56th birthday of Doctor Who a week or two ago, there have obviously been many, many different writers with different outlooks. I'd say that probably the main, most common outlook has been to treat religion with a lot of suspicion, to have so-called gods turning out to be aliens with sinister plans to trick people, and things like Tom Baker in Pyramids of Mars faced one of the Egyptian gods who turned out to be from an alien race. Sometimes they might turn out to be mad computers or things like that. So it tends to be quite rationalistic and trying to undermine faith. There's a throwaway line in one of David Tennant's stories where Easter is mentioned and he's like, oh yes, and the real story was, he gets interrupted before he can say it, but it's kind of implying that there was something else going on other than the biblical story, and just sort of sometimes just a bit of cheeky digs, as it were, at religion and particularly at organized religion. So I'd say that's the main kind of thread you might see. But then there's also sometimes other things will come through. So there was a bit in the 70s where it all went a bit Buddhist. I mean, it was the 70s, but the producer Barry Letts, he kind of approached the Doctor's ability to regenerate as a kind of Buddhist parable of reincarnation. And then there have been certainly been times where it's leaned heavily into messianic imagery around the Doctor, such as the TV movie with Paul McGann. So there is a real mix, but I do think there's some particular tensions that tend to come up and recur.
Now, you just mentioned the TV movie with Paul McGann and just kind of a nod to like a messianic imagery with the Doctor. So how much is the Doctor himself, or herself, I guess, now with the new one, a Christ figure?
Yeah, so I think for me, this is one of the things that's really interesting with Doctor Who, is just there's something about the quick-wittedness and spikiness of the Doctor and his both cleverness and self-sacrifice. It does seem to me to echo quite strongly the quirkiness of Jesus in the Gospels. And I think we can sometimes lose sight of just what a distinctively odd but also appealing figure Jesus is in the Bible. But you get that with the Doctor. And so I think there's lots of interesting echoes. And there's certainly stories, like there's one written by Paul Cornell, who's actually an Anglican Christian, called Human Nature, where the Doctor becomes human to deal with a particular situation. And then it's very much leaning into doing it as the kind of Christ figure, and him then having to sacrifice his ordinary human life in order to save the day, and he becomes this glorified Time Lord figure again. And it all gets one of the characters makes a speech about him. He's like fire and ice and rage. He sits at the heart of the universe and sees the turn of time, or something like that. And it seems to be very consciously echoing Revelation and some of the description of the glorified Jesus there. So yeah, so I think there's a general sense in which any hero within our post-Christian culture, if there are enough stories told about them, you're likely to get Christian imagery attached at some point, just because it continues to haunt our culture. But I think it's particularly pronounced with the Doctor, and with the sort of dualism between him as this Time Lord who is saving the universe, who's powerful, who's got this strange relationship with time, and also then his humanness, his quirkiness, his an eccentric madman in a box. And the more it plays with that duality, the more it seems to echo the incarnational principle of Jesus being fully human and fully God at the same time in the same one person.
Well, I know you cannot summarize all the episodes and seasons, but for people who haven't ever watched Doctor Who or are sci-fi fans and want to give it a try, what's the basic premise of the show? Because you're just mentioning, it sounds like he has this human form, so Doctor Who isn't human. Why don't you just give us a summary of really kind of the outline of the show?
Yeah. So the basic idea is the Doctor is from this powerful, incredibly advanced society, the Time Lords, who harness time travel. But he got bored, and particularly he got bored with their principle of non-interference in the affairs of other species. So he went out into the universe to explore, and then couldn't help himself but get involved in saving the day whenever he came across injustice, alien invasions, and all of these kind of adventures on a weekly basis. And what typically happens is that he has human companions who will come and travel with him, and they help to sort of ground him and humanize him by giving him that human perspective on things. So I think there's some good stepping on points. I mean, if you want to go right to back to the beginning, An Unearthly Child, the very first episode, it's very dated, but it still has a real power and resonance to it in terms of just setting up the character of the Doctor and these school teachers who stumble upon him and his granddaughter, who was sort of hiding on Earth and was their pupil, but who had this strange knowledge of other times and things, and they get whisked off on these strange adventures. But I think a good place to start is probably the start of the Matt Smith episodes. That's a good stepping on point. It was a sort of change of production team, so it kind of kicked off with new actor, new storylines, sort of reintroduced things. And I think you get a lot of really good episodes there. Or indeed, if you want to go back a bit further with Christopher Eccleston. But generally, a new Doctor tends to be a good stepping on point. And as a show, it has kept going for so long because it keeps attracting these new audiences by effectively rebooting itself, by regenerating the Doctor. So when he is close to the point of death, rather than dying, he regenerates into a new body. And it's a clever way that the show has of just refreshing itself, bringing in a new actor, having it so that the show can keep going and keep refreshing itself over the years.
In your article in specific, you write about what you think is the tension in the show between rationalism and romanticism. So what do you specifically mean by this tension?
Yeah, so I think it's the tension between the Doctor as scientist and messiah, between the impulse to explore scientific ideas in a rationalistic way, and also to tell a sort of fairy story, to tell something about good versus evil in a way that kind of echoes Narnia, if it's bigger on the inside than the out, wardrobe like the TARDIS. There's an awful lot of what Tolkien called eucatastrophe, of these sudden fairy tale joyous turns when things come right, and in one story the Doctor shouts, "Just this once, everybody lives," and there's lots of moments that capture that sort of glimpse of joy, the joy that Tolkien argued was a far off gleam of the gospel, with the incarnation being the great eucatastrophe of history. So I think you've got those two sides of the show, the sort of scientific, the rationalistic, and the sort of fairy tale, the epic, the good versus evil. And the two produce lots of interesting tensions in the themes of the show.
Could you give our listeners maybe some specific examples about how this tension plays out in the show?
Yeah, so I think it waxes and wanes in terms of the show, but there is a degree to which it's built into the Doctor's character in terms of that human and godlike side of him. But an interesting example is the end of the first season when it came back in 2005, which was written by Russell T Davies. And Christopher Eccleston, who played the Doctor, had previously played the lead role in The Second Coming by Russell T Davies, which was imagining what would happen if Jesus came back in the present day. So there was already, just in the casting, an interesting sort of messianic echo or element in that. But basically, at the end of the series, the Doctor's facing down the Daleks. He faces this very utilitarian dilemma of whether to try and wipe out the Daleks completely to save the universe, but in doing so he'd have to wipe out Earth as well. And so it's this big, like, oh no, what will he do? And the Doctor chooses, He's being taunted by the Dalek Emperor, and it's coward or killer, asks the Dalek Emperor. And the Doctor chooses coward every time and prepares to face extermination. But then you get the sort of fairy tale moment, that you catastrophic turn, as Rose Tyler, his companion, has looked into the heart of the TARDIS, and somehow it doesn't make a lot of sense plot-wise, but it's all very exciting and gives a happy ending. This gives her godlike powers, which means that she can scatter the Daleks to atoms in judgment and save the day. But the Doctor then has to sacrifice his own life and regenerate in order to stop her from dying from the immense energies running through her. So you've got the whole sort of swirl of godlike power and self-sacrifice and so on. And it's interesting because I think it's one of the sort of humanist twists that Russell T. Davies likes to put on things, that it's the empowered everyday human person who rescues and saves the day in this instance, rather than the Doctor. I think that's him being a bit clever and subversive with it. But it's very much, on the one hand, you've got this kind of rationalistic trolley problem truck type dilemma, and then it cuts the cord with a sort of fairy tale ending. And that's quite common for Doctor Who to do that kind of thing. And in the article, I go into other examples from Genesis of the Daleks, a Tom Baker story, and then looking at Day of the Doctor, the 50th anniversary episode that touches on similar things. But you get that kind of pattern coming up in the stories.
So is this tension between rationalism and romanticism, is that something that is going through all of the entire show since the beginning, or is it specific to particular seasons or stories or particular writers?
I think you see it with Russell T. Davies as a writer, as a showrunner, it came through particularly strongly. And I think Stephen Moffat, who followed him, who also wrote Sherlock, he also picked up and ran with some of this stuff. I think you can, because of the way the Doctor's character's set up, I think it lends itself to these things, so it pops up elsewhere, but it's not necessarily as front and centre in classic Doctor Who. And in the most recent series with Jodie Whittaker, I don't really think it came up, but there was an interesting pattern of the Doctor being sort of joining in with some prayers and things, or prayer-like rituals in a couple of stories, which I thought was interesting because it sort of seemed to be showing a slightly less sceptical, hostile attitude towards religion than might normally be the case in terms of the Doctor's character. But yeah, I think you get the tension is structural to the character of the Doctor, but then some writers pick up on it and explore the tension more than others.
So one of the things that your article talks about is how fandom can be a substitute for religion. Mm-hmm. So do you specifically think of fandom as a form of idolatry? Do you think that Christians can legitimately participate in it? I know that if anyone is a fan of some of these nerd kind of franchises, whether it be Marvel or specifically, I'm thinking Star Wars, where people will dissect every frame and look for Easter eggs or spoilers. Yeah. And they just know every single solitary thing about every movie, even the TV spinoffs. And you know what I mean? At least in the Star Wars universe, they have had these other like animated series and things like that. So it can get, in terms of geeky fandom, very into the minutia. And so is it something that Christians can legitimately participate in and watch, because there is just so much of it and you can really get drawn into, you know, conventions? I'm assuming they have Doctor Who conventions.
Oh, yes, they do indeed.
I'm sure they do. I don't know if they have them in the United States, but I'm sure they do at any of the like nerd Comic-Con type of things where just all the fans come out. So how do Christians deal with that? Is that something that they should be wary of, you know, and because it almost is like a religious fervor?
Yeah, so I think for some Doctor Who fans, it certainly has that role of, they very much see it as informing and reflecting their values as a person, and it gives a sort of sense of shared narrative and community. And there's certain rituals, there's the sort of almost liturgical response of, it's bigger on the inside when someone steps inside the TARDIS and sees that this blue box that's small on the outside contains a whole giant time machine within. So I think I went to a concert of Doctor Who music at the Royal Albert Hall in London, and it was like soaring, rapturous orchestral music, and everyone was looking rapt at all these images of the Doctor. I really found it like, wow, this really is like worship in a way, and pilgrimages to the sort of holy sites of filming locations and so on. So, yeah, what do we do with that? Now, I think, obviously, from a Christian point of view, if we believe Christianity to be true and real, and so it's kind of, if you're only finding that sense of meaning in something that's a made up, rather silly for all its virtues. I mean, I love Doctor Who, but you can't deny it's often very, very silly, a rather silly children's sci-fi TV show. If that's your go-to for meaning in life, I'd say that there's something much more real and substantial to be found in the Christian faith, and that's something that we want to point people to, and to say, hey, if you like the Doctor, if you like the kind of hero he is, Jesus is even better. And to say, actually, and there's all this rational evidence, there's the history, the reliability of the Gospels, all of the sense that Christianity makes of life's big questions, that show that this is something that's got real reasons for believing it. So I think there's then the question of, okay, well, what is, how involved as a Christian do you get in that? And I think it's not that you shouldn't participate in fandom, it's just that you've got a grounding that means that it's not the ultimate thing. You've got, it's not the thing where you're making it the primary grounds of your sense of identity and meaning making like some really involved and dedicated fans do. I think when that is happening, then that is, as it were, idolatrous and not a healthy thing. But you can certainly enjoy fandom, and you can enjoy dressing up, you can enjoy collecting stuff, you can enjoy all of the community and events and stuff around it in a legitimate way, and to receive those as good things and give thanks to God for them and keep them in perspective, as it were, not make them objects of worship. And then, yeah, the problem with idolatry isn't the thing itself, it's the sort of heart attitude that you have towards it. And so I think certainly fandom as a sociological phenomenon, often there is something going on there that Christians want to challenge, but the problem isn't with the shows themselves or with the sense of community and stuff around them, and there's lots that's good and can be affirmed in that. So it's just navigating that tension. It's a bit like Paul and how he, to the Greeks he became a Greek, to the Jews he became a Jew. Well, to the geeks I become a geek. Well, I was a geek already, but I kind of see that there's the, by engaging with fandom, there's an opportunity for me to be a Christian witness in that space.
So for Christians that are fans of the show, or, you know, are interested in kind of getting into it, what are, you mentioned a few, but are there other specific ways in which they can talk to Doctor Who fans about the gospel and share the gospel with them? Because one thing I think is true about the geek community is, you know, it does attract a fair amount of Christians, but for some reason, the geek community also attracts a fair amount of atheists that are pretty, you know, I don't know if that's the typical, what do you call it, stereotype of nerds that they're all, yeah, you know, engineering scientist types, you know, that reject anything that's spiritual or, you know, those emotional or anything like that. So what are some specific ways that Doctor Who could be a springboard to start engaging people to think about Christianity?
Yeah, well, I think as a teenager and in my early 20s, I spent a lot of time engaged with online fandom and forums and places like Outpost Gallifrey and Gallifrey Base. And I think there's two types of discussion. There were sections where you could go and debate contentious issues like politics and religion, a sort of off-topic section. And I did spend quite a bit of time trying to argue the case for Christianity and convert people into the faith by sort of having those very directly combative atheist versus Christian debate, rah, type thing. And I think I wouldn't say that that was without value, and certainly in terms of sharpening my own understanding of my own reasons for believing, I got a lot out of that. And there were some people who did over time change their beliefs, and who there was someone who got in touch who had become a Christian and had been involved in those discussions. I don't think it was because of that, but it had been part of their journey along the way. And so they sort of came back to say, oh, yeah, I've become a Christian now. And that kicked off a whole new round of debate. So I think these spaces can be useful in that way. But I think often the better discussions were when people's defenses weren't up and it was more in the context of discussing the stories themselves and their themes, and with stories like Human Nature, which I mentioned with the sort of Christ-like stuff. I think when you pointed out, oh, yeah, this is really like the Christian story and how Jesus did this, then people were very open and non-hostile and would engage and listen in a whole different way. So I think where you can find common ground through something you've got a shared love of and use that as a bridge to talk about and explain aspects of the gospel, then that can be really powerful and effective and sneak past the defenses that people would have up if you come in, right, now I'm going to debate about religion.
So this episode has been one focused on cultural apologetics, obviously with pop culture. So give us your apologetic as to why you think Doctor Who is worth engaging with for Christians.
Yeah, so I think it does go to in Doctor Who and in the heroism of the Doctor, you see a longing for a saviour who is good but not safe, good but not tame, to borrow C.S. Lewis's phrase about Aslan, who sacrifices himself but is also a warrior who fights to protect those who are in need. And I think we can affirm that desire and say, actually, Jesus is real and fulfills all of these things. And then I think, just from the point of view of my own Christian life, it might seem odd, but I think just seeing those things in the Doctor helps me appreciate them more when I see them in the Bible and in Jesus. And in there, it's kind of having stories that echo that give a fresh images, in the same way that Aslan helps give fresh ways of seeing Jesus. I think the Doctor at his best can do the same kind of thing, even when it's not intended as such, perhaps by the writers. It's a kind of speaking better than they know in terms of the Doctor as a hero and how that's echoing something true and something real about Christ. Plus, it's a lot of fun if you like adventure, if you like science fiction with a healthy dose of humor, but also a willingness to sometimes go a bit deeper and to engage deeper themes about life and loss and what it means to stand up for what's right, then Doctor Who is a really fun and good mix of all of those things.
Well, finally, I'd like to end with some fun rapid fire questions for Caleb. So, Caleb, it's December. You live in England. What do you have for Christmas dinner? I think Americans probably think you guys have a goose or something like that. What does your family eat for Christmas dinner?
Turkey is the usual traditional Christmas dinner, so yeah, it'll probably be roast turkey, roast potatoes, cranberry sauce, Christmas pudding. Yeah, looking forward to it.
And also for our listeners, Christmas pudding is not like American chocolate pudding. It's not like that at all. It's made out of like a bread pudding.
It's kind of very rich, lots of raisins and fruit and usually alcohol and stuff, all very kind of rich and stodgy, usually had with custard and maybe brandy butter slathered on top of it. So.
Now, in England, in America, one thing that people do around Christmas time is bake cookies and have Christmas cookie exchanges. Do you guys do that in England?
No, that's a new one to me. I mean, it sounds good. Sign me up. I'll have to get making some cookies or biscuits, as we call them over this side of the pond.
Yes, that's right. They're called biscuits there. Now, is there a particular Christmas book that you like to read to your kids during the holidays?
Well, they're quite little still, but one that I really want to read with them when they're a few years older is The Christmas Mystery by Justin Garder, who also wrote Sophie's World. And it's got a chapter for every day of Advent. And my family read it when I was young. And it's about a little girl who follows an angel, and they run through history across Europe back in time, going back to Bethlehem to see the Christ child. And each chapter they stop off at some different interesting place along the way and in history. So it's kind of got that time travel element to it. So it's got that kinship with Doctor Who, but very fun and Christmassy, and a good family book to read.
I've never heard of it. So that's a good one. And finally, do you have a family Christmas tradition that you're continuing with your family, or maybe one that you've started?
Well, I guess we're still trying to work out what we want our traditions to be. With our oldest is 2, and then we've got a 6-month-old. So it's kind of just getting to the point where particularly the 2-year-old can begin enjoying and joining in with traditions. But I guess we'll carry on some of the usual stuff like presents in stockings. And it's probably something we want to give a bit more thought to, choosing some good traditions to mark as a family.
Well, thanks, Caleb, for being on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest has been Caleb Woodbridge, who has written for us a free online television series review article about the TV program Doctor Who, and his article is called The Romantic Rationalism of BBC's Doctor Who. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter, and please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes, and please rate and review our podcast. When you rate and review our podcast, it helps others see our content. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.